всегда изгнанный с планеты Земля.
Ты горько пожалеешь, что не уничтожил...
Destroy me, Megatron! I shall have my revenge!
Another exciting episode of Pretentious Internet Theater. I am your host, Andrew Cook, and I'm so leet, I started my own message board and banned myself. We continue tonight with our tale of robot-human forbidden courtship. First of all, I'd like to remind you that you can email this program at pretentiousinternettheater@gmail.com. Also, I know that many of you are excited about the panel coming up at Mini MegaCon, taking place at the Orange County Convention Center, Hall E, August 22nd. Our panel will be on the 23rd at 4 o'clock, or 1600 hours, for those of you who use military time. While I understand a lot of you are excited, I'd like to ask you, please, to stop twittering about it. I received an email from the Twitter people, and they told me that the farewell showed up big time last Thursday. So could you guys just tone it down a notch? Show up. We're going to fit as many people as we can into the room, and we're going to try to make sure that as many of you can have roles doing voices so that you can be part of this program as possible. All right, one more point before I continue. I'd like to point out something within this story itself, Morning Tea. The author Lola Hard did something that I have never seen in any form of artistic expression. Seems that she took a page from Tina Turner herself, who says, and I quote, "We're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy, and then we're going to do a rough finish. This is the way we do Proud Mary." And that certainly is the way that Lola Hard decided to do Morning Tea. For I had stated at the beginning of the story that it was PG-13. However, right at the beginning of Chapter 3, the rating switches to a rated R story. So join us now for our exciting conclusion of Morning Tea.
Morning Tea, Chapter 4. Definitely, Pontiac Solstice was a gorgeous freaking car. That was the thought that refused to leave Maggie's mind as the aforementioned car raced along the highway to the unknown destination. And that thought, coupled with a luxurious feeling of soft warm leather against her back and under her palms, made the girl embarrassingly aware of her own shabby appearance. Maggie's eyes dropped down to the torn-up knees of her Wayne blue jeans that were still wet from kneeling in the evening grass, then to her pink blouse with long sleeves that were cozy and comfortable, of course, but so old it could have successfully belonged to, say, her grandma. And lastly, to her sneakers she'd chosen specifically for the intricate task of digging Kitty up under her porch that used to be white some 4 or 5 years ago. The girl combed her wild and disheveled hair carefully with her fingers, but suspected it didn't help much, and she still looked like she emerged from the slums or something. Yeah, she'd fit just fine behind the wheel of a Pontiac Solstice, even though the roof was up, and there was no chance of anyone seeing the details of her outfit, not to mention it was supposedly a date. Oh, God, and girls are supposed to look pretty when they're on a date. Everything in life obviously went the opposite way of the right one. And her escort was a robot. Didn't look pretty at all, and... "Hey, Maggie," Jazz's low and deep voice interrupted her self-pitying party. It felt like it surrounded her from everywhere at once, surrounding the girl and enveloping her like a soft, warm blanket. "Have I told you pink is your color?" Geez, did he just read her thoughts about her lame looks or what? Yet he was giving her the creeps. "Nope, I believe you haven't," she gave a small one-shouldered shrug, a little uncomfortable not only because of his perfect timing, but also because she wasn't yet used to talking to a radio. Well, she needed to look somewhere while speaking to Jazz, so she chose to look at the radio. "Ah, my bad. Because it is, and you look delicious in it." The intonation gave the impression that Jazz was smiling, and those last silky words were said so sincerely she almost believed him. Almost. The girl sighed at the smile of her own. "Well, it's nice of you, Jazz. Thanks. all the while wondering how the hell she had allowed herself to be talking to something like this, whatever it was. "You got any plans for tonight?" The question came out of the blue, derailing Mackie's cognitions about strange twists of her outstanding life. The girl was so surprised, she didn't even have enough brain capacity to process possible lies like, "Yeah, I gotta clean the house," or "Sorry, too much work," or to just flat-out play dumb blonde and change the subject. "No," she said with pathetic honesty, staring dumbstruck at the mech that was sitting in the ground in front of her. That very second, her brain tardily grasped the implications of such an indirection on her part. She knew she was in for some serious trouble. As if to confirm her thoughts, Jazz gave her a thorough once-over, making the girl blush again. How he managed that, not only being a non-organic creature, but also with his optics shielded from the world, was beyond her mental grasp. Maggie more sensed than saw his gaze linger appreciatively in several particular places of her figure. That gaze was observant, lazy, and felt almost like a physical caress, and the girl wondered if it was real interest or just an act born of wish to mimic human signals of attraction. When a slow, fond smile appeared on Jazz's lips, there could be no doubt it was genuine. Maggie snapped out of her stupor. All right, now life got really crazy. In fact, it had reached a level of craziness where she wasn't sure if she could deal with it without breaking at least some part of her poor brain. She buried her hand in her hair and opened her mouth, meaning to say she was sorry, but she wasn't in the mood and in any clothes for anything tonight. But a soft buzz of Jazz's joints stopped her speech and movement. She froze in confusion, watching the saboteur as he reached his hand towards her slowly. Just like a week ago. Except this time, his palm stopped midair, open and facing up, about half a yard from her. Maggie glared at the metallic limb in front of her, then up at Jazz. It took her some time to realize with astonishment he was offering her a hand and waiting for her to accept and take it. "Come, m'lady. Come, m'lady." A song sounded softly from the Autobot's speakers, just like he bent his head to the side with a mysterious smile, emphasizing the lyrics silently. A rich, amber-golden light of the setting sun made Jazz's armor shine like a quicksilver. His usually black visor was glowing luminescent blue, casting an eerie cloud of neon to the lower half of his face and softening his strong features. And right now, casually relaxed and half-covered by twilight shadows, Jazz looked like a very large and athletic human male in some kind of high-tech exosuit. Maggie tore her eyes from Jazz's face and looked at the offered palm again, and moved forward an inch with a soft sound, as if nudging her conscience towards making a decision. A silent, "Come on, do it." She couldn't believe it. He'd asked her out, and she somehow couldn't possibly say no at this point, not with the way he was looking and smiling at her. Still, in half-hearted denial, Maggie hesitantly reached out and touched that silver golden palm for the first time by her own will. The girl's small fingers wrapped around the mech's much larger digits, feeling the shiny surface of the Autobot metallic skin with tentative curiosity. Maggie's heart sped up a bit when that huge palm closed around her delicate hand slowly and carefully, warming and caressing it with tenderness that was both unexpected and natural at the same time. She knew how much strength this very palm possessed. It could tear metal apart like paper. It could crush stones into sand, so much power. Yet absolutely no threat whenever he touched her. Only the feeling of safety and something else. "I take that smile as a yes, then?" Jazz asked quietly with a playful smirk. And indeed, she found herself smiling for some unknown reason. So crazy. Maggie chuckled disbelievingly instead of an answer. It looked like she really did say yes without so much as making a sound. So, between Jazz's enthusiasm and her confusion, she hadn't had much time to change into something more fitting the occasion. Though she still wouldn't know it could be called a date, which was the equivalent of a local apocalypse for a girl who preferred wearing high heels on a daily basis. Thus the fumbling with her hair and constantly straightening of clothes now.
"What? You don't believe me?" Jazz asked, picking up on her mood.
Maggie just smiled inside again. Even though she did think he was only being nice and didn't really deserve his compliments in regards to her delicious looks, she still had a woman's dignity. Wouldn't admit any of it aloud. No way. Robot or not, a male should know such things. "I do believe you, Jazz." "Thanks," Maggie nodded. "Hey, is that Rihanna?" She tried to change the topic of conversation, drawing the Autobot's attention to the song on the radio. "Baby, you've got the key. Now shut up and drive, drive, drive."
A grin curved the girl's lips at the lyrics of its situation. Rihanna, all right. Jazz laughed, catching the cue and increasing the volume. His engine growled like an enraged animal, and the girl's grasp of surprise turned into all-right laughter and amused joy that raced even faster than before. It wasn't long before Jazz slowed down and took a turn, heading into a fenced territory that Maggie instantly recognized as a drive-in, she spoke incredulously. And it suddenly made perfect sense. Where else would a robotic car take a girl?
Yep, that's right. Jazz replied enthusiastically. I got a special spot for us. The best there is.
He headed towards one of the rows and parked in the middle of it. Maggie asked with impatient interest, glancing around at other cars and the large screen ahead where she could see ads running. It had been quite some time since she visited a drive-in. Arlette! The screen shined with beautiful letters, and Maggie chuckled. She hadn't seen this movie, to her absolute shame, but she heard more than enough to know it was about love.
Hope you don't mind my choice, Jazz rumbled.
It's good. I don't mind it at all, she gave a kind smile at the radio, feeling a little bit foolish for doing so, but dismissing it.
You comfortable?
Yes, thank you, she folded her arms across her chest awkwardly. The pose might have seemed unconfident. She was merely not sure where to put them. After all, she was sitting a living robot folded into the form of a car. One of Jazz's panels opened all of a sudden, and a little tray emerged from its depths, a paper cup with ice cream on it. Maggie's brain stopped as she glared at the cup. Ice cream, for God's sakes! Strange thoughts began swarming in her head. Like, where exactly he'd been keeping food inside his body, and where he'd got it from in the first place. It would also mean he'd prepared for this evening, even though he came to her place and asked her out.
I don't know how you like your ice cream, but I'd seen you eating chocolate a couple of times, so I went for chocolate syrup, Jazz explained softly.
He must have interpreted her silence as reluctant to eat what he had offered her. Maggie couldn't contain a smile of endearment at that. You're a good observer, Jazz, because I do like my ice cream with chocolate syrup. She chose to go with the flow and took the cup carefully. Her mood was getting better and better with every second. That is until... Jazz, you got a spoon anywhere for me? The car went unusually silent.
Then, a spoon?
Well, yeah, I need something to eat the ice cream with. Jazz's engine gave a groaning sound.
Oh, slag,
he quietly cursed. Maggie decided to spare him the confusion and laughed. You brought me ice cream but didn't bring a spoon? What a blast! Jazz was now laughing along with her.
I'm sorry, Maggie, we Cybertronians consume energon. We don't use any auxiliary facilities. It just got completely wiped from my memory banks that Yod need a spoon. Oh, Primus.
It's all right. I guess I can manage without it. She mused, eyeing the cup in her hands, pitching herself, sticking her fingers into the cold, sweet substance and licking them afterwards. Not the most comfortable and the most modest way to eat, but it'll have to do.
You sure?
Yeah, nothing's gonna stop me, she shrugged.
Not even my nasty remarks,
he elaborated in a sultry voice, making her smile again and relax against the seat.
Not even that, she stated with determination,
then caught a little of white and brown frozen cream on her fingers and delivered it to her mouth, rolling the sweetness on her tongue and swallowing with bliss.
Mmm, this is good. I'm glad you're enjoying it, Jazz purred, as much as I am.
She knew he was joking, but her cheeks tinted red nevertheless. Jazz laughed joyfully and tuned in on the needed radio frequency so they could listen to the audio stream of the show. The movie turned out to be a really good one, not to mention that Christopher Lambert made a really good womanizer. Jazz kept making curious remarks and asking questions throughout the first half of it.
So he's with her for money? He mused.
Well, yeah, in a way, Maggie nodded, watching as Frank tried to win Arlette's heart by way of deception.
Is that normal for humans?
What? No, he was horrified that you might get such an impression. I mean, she could believe she was discussing this with him. Well, such things are happening all over the world, yes, but it's not right if you mean that.
Not right? Why?
He asked. Maggie refrained from mentally comparing him to an innocent child. Even though he was sincerely curious, he was anything but innocent. He was just from another planet. Because love is not about money, she stated at the lack of a better explanation.
But what about...
He paused, and a small chirp was probably an indication that he was looking something up on the internet.
Prostitution.
He finished his question. That's not love, it's just sex, for money. Most of the time, it's dirty and low. Does your kind have an analog?
Another quiet chirp, then. Ain't an analog, but... Yeah, we have something like that. Though it's more like companionship.
Oh, she could only say to that. She thought the Cybertronians, being a higher race and all, wouldn't need something like that. You sound like it's bad, Jazz noted carefully, his statement partially a question.
Well, I, for one, wouldn't like it if someone was with me for a reason other than myself, she said. I don't understand how people can use such services.
They've got no respect for themselves and for the ones who offer such services, she mumbled, shaking her head.
It's a matter of perception, Maggie, he said pensively. And respect, actually. You see, my kind has a very long lifespan, and no means of natural procreation. So, unlike human sex, interfacing only has a recreational meaning. It ain't something low or forbidden or shameful. Some even consider it a form of art, and some strive to get to the very heights of it. And that, in its turn, bringing up a natural chain of reactions, like others wanting to get a taste of it or spending time with skillful professionals, regularly due to having no permanent partner, but the companions have a right to choose for themselves or to decline offers. It's always about respect and never about money.
Oh, Maggie said again. That was a lot of information to process. It was... And it gave an entirely different angle to things. If anything, it was an entirely different world Jazz was speaking about, with different systems of values and standards of behavior. I guess it makes sense then.
But he's a jerk, Jazz stated suddenly, startling Maggie. What? The guy on the screen, Frank, he's lying to her.
Well, the movie wouldn't exist if it didn't teach the viewer something. The girl smiled. Now be quiet, and let's watch. By the time the ending titles appeared on the screen, Maggie's ice cream had long since completely melted. She drank the rest of it, experiencing that feeling of satisfaction she always had after eating something sweet.
You know, I think I like that guy after all, Jazz decided.
You thought he was a jerk an hour ago, she smiled, folding the paper cup neatly and putting it in another panel Jazz had moved towards her.
Well, he's got the guts to do what's right and make her happy. You gotta give him that.
Oh yeah, I guess it somewhat makes up for his fraud. She lifted her brows slightly, trying to look skeptical.
Jazz laughed. Anyway, he'd suffered enough before ending up together with Arlette, don't you think?
Maggie grinned. Okay, he did deserve his happiness.
That's more like it.
The saboteur switched on his radio, catching a hip-hop tune. And the car started swaying in place on its springs to the rhythm, making Maggie's smile slip off her face.
Jazz,
he carefully began, you do realize how it looks from the outside, right? As if echoing her question, the guy in the driver's seat of the nearby car leaned out his window and watched the swaying silver Pontiac. His angular face with heavy glasses on his nose held a disgusted expression. Maggie could only be grateful that Jazz's windows were toned, and therefore the guy couldn't see her face. The swaying stopped. What happened next probably scared Maggie's psyche for the rest of her life. A handsome black-skinned male appeared in the passenger seat beside her, startling the shit out of her and making her grab the door handle and prepare to flee at a moment's notice. He pulled his shades down his nose slightly, one sky-blue eye giving her a playful wink. The next moment, the window on the side rolled open, and he grinned mischievously at the guy who was now glaring at the two of them, obviously taking special notice of Maggie's flaming cheeks and probably confirming his worst suspicions in his mind. The girl lost all ability to speak and was staring dumbly at the hologram behind her at the guy at the other car. She knew all the Cybertronians had a hologram and used it on occasion. It was the first time she'd actually witnessed one of them activating it. She didn't know whether to laugh or to die in place, or let herself marvel in the scientific genialness of this invention. Before she could react in any way, the Pontiac's windows rolled back up securely, and the hologram dissolved without a sound. The car's engine growled self-compliantly, and Jazz started moving back from their parking spot. As they were leaving the drive-in, she was trying to get over her bewilderment and shock.
You okay, babe? Jazz asked with concern in his voice.
That was... a strange event, she replied, finding that she was finally able to talk.
A good kind of strange or a bad kind of strange?
She smiled broadly. A crazy kind of strange, that's for sure, the girl giggled, hearing his answering laugh. She suddenly noticed they were in fact moving in the opposite direction from her house.
Isn't my place that way? She inquired, pointing a thumb back over her shoulder.
Nah, the party's not over yet, if that's what you mean, Jazz cryptically replied.
Oh, so what else do you have in store?
Just wait and see, baby. He laughed, speeding up. End of chapter 4.
Songs used, Crazy Town, Butterfly, Rihanna, Shut Up and Drive. Author's note. Thank you for reading.
I'm bear-hugging all of you who are with me and favoring and reviewing, because let's face it, you're the best! Couple of notes that people have been wondering. 1. There will be no solid holograms in this fix. You may already have guessed, only natural-born humans and mechs. I only use the 2007 movie concept of the holograms. 2. The rating will go to M eventually for naughty adult content, yes. Just in case you guys find the ideal unappealing, it's not too late to stop reading yet.
No, I pulled that joke.
You guys are more than welcome to leave your reviews, comments. I'd like to know what you think, your guesses, your ideas, and anything else you'd like to say. I'm happy if I know you're having fun. Happy New Year, everyone, and be safe. See you in the next chapter.
Disclaimer. All characters belong to the copyright owners. No money gained, only fun. Author's note.
This is the second, and currently the last, part of what I've come up during my long absence. Little about this chapter. I think it's important for the entire story, for more than one reason. It reveals more about Jazz. And makes Maggie realize some things she didn't even expect to. Flaming Marsh, thank you for your beta help. I'm not really good with cars. And just in case you see any lack of correspondence of Jazz's physical characteristics to those he had in the 2000 movie throughout this fic, let's just explain it this way. After being reactivated by Ratchet, the Argonaut procedure of inventive tuning, so anything's possible in this universe. I know it's a lame excuse, but I'm much better at romance than every technology. With that said, on with the reading! This story has an illustration comics, Wax On, Wax Off, by my friend TK Productions. Thank you so much, Victoria. I was so happy to get such a fantastic gift. Also, if you would like a visual presentation of this pairing, you should watch the beautiful Jazz Maggie tribute created by Danzina Chan. I'm really proud of the fact this was inspired by Morning Tea.
Morning Tea, Chapter 5. It's almost midnight. We're in a forest, no lights or people around. Should I be worried, Jazz? Maggie joked with a laugh, eyeing the surroundings flowing outside the car.
Aw, baby. You know me better than that,
Jazz laughed along with her, stopping at the clearing that presented a hill, similar to the lookout Bumblebee liked to take his two humans to. Maggie left the car. Jazz started shifting his form. The girl decided right then and there she'd never get tired of watching the Autobots transform. In a couple of seconds, the Saboteur was standing right beside her on his two powerful legs. So, the mission objective is... Maggie asked curiously, looking at his glowing visor. Jazz only smiled and wordlessly lifted his face up. Maggie followed his gaze and gave an astonished gasp of awe. It was a clear, cloudless night, meaning the myriads of stars were split across the inky abyss of the sky. The tiny spot seemed to wink down at them, shining like little space diamonds, and looked so close. For a moment, one could have believed it was possible to reach out and touch them, if not for their unearthly beauty that made them unreachable. Untouchable.
Wow, if I knew you liked this so much, I would have brought you here a long time ago,
Jazz softly smiled, and Maggie realized he'd been studying her reaction. Feeling a little embarrassed, the girl smiled in answer and sat down on the grass to watch the stars for a little while. Actually, it hasn't been long since I moved to the house where I am now, she explained. I used to live in the city before that, and when you live in a big city and work in an office day in, day out, you don't think about the sky above your head. The busy rhythm of life engulfs you, and the artificial illumination obscures the view. It's easy to forget how beautiful the stars are.
Yeah, they're beautiful,
Jazz intoned with a similar smile. The genuine admiration was obvious in his tone. He lowered himself to the ground beside Maggie carefully and stared up. You do this often? The girl asked softly.
You mean stargazing?
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Why? Maggie asked in surprise, turning her head to him. You seem to like it. He shrugged slightly.
Reminds me of home, I guess.
Okay, now she felt stupid. She wanted to kick herself in the head if it were possible. She could have guessed what those sparks of silver in the bottomless blackness of sky meant to such a creature like Jazz. Stars. And planets. And one of them was Cybertron, or what was left of it, an inhospitable lifeless pile of metal floating in the depths of space.
I'm sorry, she whispered, watching him closely. Don't be, he shook his head slightly, still looking up. They're beautiful. With a good company, that's all that matters.
He smiled contentedly, soothing Maggie's doubts, and laid back on the ground. The girl followed his example after a minute of contemplation, having placed her cell phone between them. The two sank into their thoughts, just lying there on the soft grass, listening to the wind sighing on the trees and to the whispering night songs of casetas. It could have been chilly on the ground, but Jazz's body emanated warmth, so Maggie didn't have to worry about it. Suddenly, the girl was glad she was wearing jeans, old blouse, and sneakers. She'd look quite ridiculously in a miniskirt and high heels right now. In fact, her current outfit was giving her a strange feeling of relaxed coziness. All daily problems were gone, giving way to inner peace. The sky was so high and deep, and the stars so small and sharp, a clear picture of a surreal entity. She could see the constellations as if they were painted on a giant black canvas, a perfect visual illusion of order amidst the endless chaos.
What's it like? She murmured barely above whisper after what seemed like an eternity. It was foolish, but at that moment it seemed to her as if she spoke too loud to scare those stars away.
What? He purred in reply.
Space! I've always wondered. But you gotta be some kind of superhuman to get a space visa nowadays, she chuckled sadly. Jazz moved his head a little, and his visor changed color several times.
The web says some special training required for the cosmonauts.
Yeah, for us humans, it's not exactly a road trip. Space is a highly hostile environment, so you could say the cosmonauts are practically bred, healthy, physically trained, and able to operate shuttles and orbital stations. And even then, a person might spend their entire life preparing for a space flight and never get to actually do it. Because they're only an indemnifying stand-in, and their services are not required.
Well, not a big loss for them, really. Because it's cold.
Jazz said with a little shrug, and his voice colored with a smile.
And boring.
Oh, really? Maggie smirked as well.
Well, yeah, just imagine thousands of light years of absolute silence. No noise, no music, nothing.
Jazz threw one hand into the air in a small gesture of annoyance.
Enough to drive a mech crazy.
Maggie couldn't hold back a soft laugh. Oh my, I should have known you'd say something like that.
Why? He grinned. Am I that predictable?
In some aspects, definitely, she stated in a smug voice.
Dang it, then I need to work on my image.
Jazz laughed in response. He turned his large head to her, dimming his visor a little so as not to blind her.
His huge grin softened to the same warm smile he'd shown Maggie a week ago, when he'd first come to her with a strange request. It was only then she'd noticed just how close they were lying.
She'd never been this close to any of the Autobots. To Jazz. Their position on the ground and the race, the height difference between them. They were face to face. They were studying each other. Maggie felt the silence start to change. Change and thicken. She cleared her throat nervously.
Jazz?
She said, remembering what had been on her mind for some time. A low, thunder-like rumble of his voice vibrated on her skin. I never had a chance to tell you. What you did in Mission City.
I acted on instinct.
He said in It's Nothing Drop It intonation, turning his face up to the sky again. The invisible connection was broken with a loss of eye contact, like a spell dissolving. Her eyebrow rose.
Sentient robots have instincts? The question slipped out before she could hold it back. Yeah, sorta. More like, we develop a semi-autonomous way of thinking that's practically defined by our initial programmer.
Oh, the girl's inquisitive mind registered and filed away new information. Then jump back to the previous thought. What I wanted to say is, it was brave. Really brave.
Well, I hadn't been counting on Megatar to rip me to pieces, so that kind of excludes the bravery factor, he chuckled, turning this sensitive topic into a joke.
He obviously was uncomfortable with taking praise, and it surprised Maggie, considering Jazz's charismatic, self-assured personality. But that didn't deter the girl from asking the question that was on her mind. Well, if you knew it would end up like that, would you have changed your actions in any way? The question seemed to surprise the Autobot, because he gave her a strange look.
You really want to know?
Maggie nodded mutely.
It was a strategic hole of sorts, he said after a pause.
His gaze turning to the stars, there was nothing else that could be done at that moment.
So nah, I wouldn't.
Only having heard those words, she realized she'd been expecting to hear them. Not because of some standards of courage she'd had. You'd never know how you'd act in this or that situation until you end up dealing with it in real life. But because she sensed that he really would do it again if he had to. It must have hurt like hell, she said quietly, musing aloud. Jazz let out a short, slow laugh.
I don't think I had time to notice, Mag.
The cheerfulness of his tone was engulfed by the dead silence that followed. Maggie didn't react to that statement because she knew it was a lie. She knew for a fact that Ratchet had studied the contents of the Autobot's equivalent of black box embedded in Jazz's central processor. While the silver mech had been deactivated, the medic, on Maggie's hesitant request, had told her the details of the saboteur's death. She'd been terrified to learn that Oblivion hadn't come to Jazz right away. His systems kept running for several long seconds, shutting down one by one, sending alarms to his overloaded CPU. So it had finally short-circuited for good and ceased to function. Maybe he hadn't had time for such thought before, jumped in front of Megatron, but God only knows what he had to go through during those several seconds. So she just waited, reading the barely visible tenseness in his posture.
Anyway, better me than one of the guys, he murmured in casual tones after another pause,
staring somewhere up into the inky, silver sky.
Why? She sat up, confused, and looked down at his inscrutable face as if he could get her a glance into his soul and come to a better understanding. They're too important for our mission to be terminated in battle if it can be avoided, came his tranquil and measured reply, as if he was stating an obvious thing.
She looked at him dumbfounded. This was definitely some kind of crazy, twisted warrior's reasoning.
He was most exasperated about it, being a civilian,
Maggie could neither agree with it nor object it. She didn't know what his daily activities were, and she couldn't coldly estimate his actual value of importance to the team from the military point of view, but something inside of her demanded that she reassured him that he did have a reason to come back from the battle, that he did have someone who cared about him. She ached to respond with, "You're important to me, but..." Wouldn't those be too big words? Or too rushed? She could actually hear his natural question on her head, "Why?" And to that she didn't have an answer, so she opened her mouth and closed it again, unable to follow her own logic. The heavy silence was torn by the ringing of Maggie's cell phone that laid on the ground between them. The girl welcomed such a well-timed distraction. As soon as she read the name that appeared on the small display, her heart sank. Andrew, it said. The Andrew from work who'd been bugging her with calls for some time now. She let out a weary groan under her breath, her slim palm coming up to her face to rub at her forehead uncomfortably. She didn't want to pick up that one. She so didn't need that at this moment. She felt Jazz's curious gaze on her and glanced up into his visor. The bot sat up as well and was now studying the phone. "Andrew?" he asked. Again, Maggie had opened and closed her mouth. The phone kept ringing. The two of them were staring at each other. What she couldn't understand was why on earth she felt like she'd done something wrong and she needed to explain herself. It was ridiculous. "Well, he's a nice guy, polite and all, but he really isn't my type," she said in an embarrassed mumble. "I told him that many times, but he refuses to take no for an answer." Maggie fell quiet again and glared at the phone, wishing for it to stop ringing. Maybe if she didn't answer the call long enough, Andrew would give up? Although usually it took more than that to discourage him for a little while, if at all. The guy was spotlessly polite and incredibly thick-skulled, an awful combination that bordered on snobism, but wasn't enough to have a real reason to say he was a jerk. Jazz watched her for a couple of seconds, the joyful ringing of the phone seeming out of place sound in the peaceful night around them. Maggie lifted her gaze and tried to decipher his facial expression. What was he thinking? Was he offended somehow, or angry? Boy, could he be unreadable. "You want him off your case?" he finally asked. He sounded calm, and for some reason it made Maggie relax a little. Frankly, even though O'Donnell gets so lucky in the nearest future, yeah, I really wish he'd stop calling," she confessed, now staring at the device with a miserable expression on her face. "Kay?" Jazz simply said with a small smile. That very moment, the cell phone stopped ringing. But the reason was not the caller having given up. No, the phone had miraculously received the call and switched to speakerphone. Maggie gaped at it in shock, listening to the soft noises on the open line. She didn't know what to say or do now that Andrew was obviously waiting to acknowledge her readiness to speak with him. Jazz beat her to it. "Yeah?" he drawled lazily in a deep voice, taking the initiative. Maggie's eyes shot up to the saboteur. The girl lifted a brow in amusement. Dawned on her. It had been him who picked up the phone, remotely no less. Had she expected Jazz to do something like that? This was getting interesting. There was a stunned silence on the other end of the line. Then a confused male voice, quite familiar to Maggie, spoke politely. "Good evening. Can I speak to Maggie, please?" "And who are you?" Jazz replied none too pleasantly. By the way he sounded, one could imagine him frowning. Maggie couldn't be sure, though, because his visor was covering the entire upper half of Jazz's face. She crossed her arms over her chest with a crooked smile, curious about where all this was headed. "My name is Andrew. I'm Maggie's co-worker." The man introduced himself somewhat carefully. "Oh, hey, Andrew." Jazz greeted them with a whatever air to the tone. "Mag's in the shower. You want me to take a message?" Maggie barely managed to suppress a laugh before it could escape her. She hit the smirk at her fist. Andrew started hesitantly. Before he could take any kind of response, he was interrupted by a cheerful female voice that called rather loudly from somewhere inside of Jazz, and that Maggie, to her absolute shock, recognized as her own. "Hey, kitty, come to Mama. I got something yummy for you, sweetheart. I know you love it." Immediately, the first sensual chords of some slow R&B song started pounding out of Jazz's speakers. Maggie's jaw dropped. "Yeah, pumpkin, I'm coming just a sec," Jazz called out in reply to a recorded voice, flashing the stunned girl a rickish grin. Absorbed in his role, he addressed Andrew again. "You better be quick, man. Don't want to make the lady wait." Maggie put her hand over her mouth in a desperate attempt to hold back a fit of mad giggles that threatened to spoil everything. "Well," Andrew stuttered. No, thanks. Good night." "Same to you, dude." Jazz had time to respond before the line went dead. The Autobot looked at the girl and pointed to the cell phone on the ground between them. "I'm ready to bet my stereo that guy won't bother you again," he announced with a tone of finality. They both burst into laughter. Maggie hadn't laughed like that in a long time. She couldn't believe how perfectly casual and natural Jazz's conversation with Andrew had been, not to mention how inventive the Autobot could absolutely be when it set his mind on something. "Jazz, you're such a... Such a... She wiped the tears of mirth from the corner of her eyes. A saboteur. The Silverbot prompted with a large grin on his face. Yeah, that's what I dig. Improvisation. One side of his visor changed from the color blue to black for a second. The flash created an illusion of a wink. And damned, you're good, she giggled again. She looked at him skeptically. But for God's sake, Pumpkin? She would play the scene in their mind. Pumpkin, along with Kitty and Mama, had to be the weirdest mix of endearments ever. Jazz shrugged, his broad metallic shoulders rolling with a gentle whir, an impish smile grazing his lips. It kind of slipped out. She shook her head with a matching smile. If my co-workers find out about that, I'm never going to hear the end of it. The Autobot chuckled and pretended empathy. And then he inclined his head to the side, studying her. Maggie? Yes, Jazz? Several seconds passed. He was silent. And something in his pose, or maybe his face, changed for a moment. The impenetrable facade gave a slight crack, revealing a glimpse of Jazz Maggie had never seen before. Vulnerable and uncertain, the smile on the girl's face froze, forgotten. She sensed that his next words would be important. Tensed mentally. Just so you know, I can take no for an answer, the mech said in a soft, quiet voice, his visor-covered optics never leaving Maggie. She stood there, unmoving and looking up at him. Suddenly become clear to her that he looked confident and pushy and ram-like. He could perfectly see how strikingly different the two of them were, just as she did. He too had doubts. He too was unsure. Maggie wasn't used to seeing Jazz like this. She was used to think of him as a macho type, but albeit a nice one. She was used to seeing him like a carefree, ironic mech who loved risk, laughed at danger, and defied death itself. No fear, no regrets. That motto seemed to characterize Jazz's strong personality the fullest. Now, this? She didn't know how to deal with this. For a moment, she thought she'd gone crazy, because how else do you call an overwhelming feeling in your chest when you want to hold someone close and give them part of your warmth and make it feel better? She felt like she discovered another side to Jazz, because this, him showing her his insecurity, was something far more intimate and trusting than any physical contact could be. Maggie gave him a gentle smile, trying to lighten up the mood. You mean, I won't need, say, to talk Ironhide into pulling the same trick you just did, giving you a call and pretending I'm in the washer racks with him, giving him a back rub or something? She joked. Man, a playful smirk appeared on Jazz's face. I wouldn't believe it anyway. He wouldn't be able to pull a good act for the life of him. You think so? Well, a couple loud grunts on his part would all it would do to take the needed impression, she mused. He's good at grunting. Whoa, girl, there's something I should know about you and Hyde. Jazz's deep laughter was so contagious that Maggie could do nothing but join him. Feeling the invisible spring inside him, coiling slowly. Speaking of wash racks, the Autobot continued, I haven't had a good wash in a while. Mind giving me one? His sly tone suggested if he had eyebrows, he'd be waggling them right now. For the second time that evening, Maggie folded her arms on her chest skeptically, trying to look mildly annoyed. You do realize that normally I wouldn't have agreed, right? She asked, squinting a little, but knowing the playful glint in her eyes betrayed her.
Does that mean you're agreeing now? Jazz purred. I mean, you do owe me for saving you from the unneeded attention of unwelcome admirers. He grinned.
Maggie let out a laugh. Yeah, I really appreciate that, Jazz, and as a thank you, all right, I'll give you a wash on Sunday. She confirmed this in an almost official tone, as if giving him a solemn promise.
A Sunday wash?
Jazz repeated the half question, inclining his head forward slightly. Yep.
A nice, long Sunday hand wash, huh?
He drawled, corners of his lips starting to curve up. Now, that sounded perverse and just plain wrong, Jazz, Maggie glared at him.
What? I'm just making sure you ain't gonna spray me with a hose for like 10 seconds and leave me there all miserable and wet. Is that a crime?
Jazz gave a farewell glance to the sky and folded into car form. Open driving door, inviting Maggie inside. You have an issue about hoses? The girl asked, taking the so nicely offered seat and making herself comfortable. The seatbelt snaked around her and tightened its hold gently for a second before settling in its lock. The Pontiac's engine purred as the car drove off in the direction of her house.
Oh yeah, it's ticklish and not nice at all.
Okay, no hoses then.
Ah, I'm counting seconds.
The saboteur breathed in anticipation. Jazz, you're a pervert, you know that?
Why, thanks for the compliment, baby. He laughed.
I hope I won't regret this, the girl mumbled to herself, unable to hold back an amused smile of her own.
Oh, you'll like it.
Yeah, right.
I'd heard that one before. Does that mean I don't know and Maggie speak?
She snickered. Kinda.
Okay, girl, it's a challenge, then. We'll see who's right on Sunday.
Jazz, she drawled with a weary smile and disbelieving shake of her head.
What?
He drawled back, a mock resentment in his voice. And just like that, they entertained each other with an easy, playful conversation on the way back to Maggie's home. Somewhere along the way, dope with the emotional events of the day, the pleasurable tiredness and soothing sounds of slow music of Jazz's choice, the girl surrendered to sleep and took a short nap, all the while acknowledging the comforting hold of a seatbelt around her frame, with some part of her mind that stood aware of the world around her. When the Pontiac came to a gentle stop and its engine switched to a contented rumble, she guessed they'd reached her house and opened her eyes. Yep, here they were on her lawn, illuminated by a soft yellow light of several short street lamps. Maggie sighed, enjoying the air that filled her lungs. Thanks for the nice evening, Jazz. I really enjoyed the ride, and the movie, and the stars, and the talk. She said with a smile, running a thumb over the steering wheel lightly.
The pleasure's all mine, girl.
The Pontiac purred its answer, its tone pleased and gentle, sort of like the ones people usually use when they're giving someone a big, warm hug. Okay, see you tomorrow then, Maggie said. And Jazz obediently undid his belt, opened the driver's door so she could leave. The girl allowed herself a quick stretch and stepped out of the car, heading to the front door.
Oh, no good night kiss?
Jazz asked suddenly, and Maggie turned around in surprise, noting that he'd still maintain his vehicle for him. She was sure if the car could pout, Pontiac was definitely doing that. How cute. Depends. She was in an extremely good mood for some reason, and she felt like teasing him a little.
On what? Came the capital question.
On whether it was a date. She folded her arms over her chest. A pause followed. The car was perfectly still. Then,
do you want it to have been a date?
I don't know, she gave a one-shouldered shrug.
So what if it was a date?
Too bad, then.
Why?
Because I don't kiss on the first date.
Her words were met with heavy silence.
With an eyebrow raise, she watched the Pontiac that was sitting on a lawn. One of the hemlights dimmed,
lit up again. The other one faded out, the action repeating itself slowly a couple of times.
If she was asked, she'd say Jazz was engaged in an intense thinking process. It almost made her giggle, so the Silverbot couldn't decide what he wanted more. This evening to have been a date, or a friendly goodnight kiss. Now this was truly endearing and amusing, like watching a kid who couldn't make up his mind in a toy store. The girl was about to roll her eyes, bid the Autobot goodnight, and retreat to the house without any kisses, but
why the hell not, the naughty part of her thought. I'd never kissed a Cybertronian before.
Wasn't there a first time for everything? Besides, it'd be funny as hell to pull at Jazz's strings. Okay, fine, she shrugged nonchalantly, coming back over to the saboteur swiftly and putting both palms flat on his hood. With a feral grin, she leaned down and planted a sound, generous kiss in the middle of it. The lips lingered on the warm metal for a moment. She had to hold back a giggle when Jazz's engine sputtered, the sound of its uneven rumble vibrating through the smooth, hard surface under her palms, breaking the contact. Maggie chuckled smugly and took a couple of steps back. The Autobot immediately started to transform, causing Maggie to wonder why he would want to do that. Until he stilled himself again, now in bipedal form, sitting down on the grass with a strange expression on his visor face. Maggie watched him curiously. The saboteur stared at her for a moment, then dropped his gaze down to the mouth-shaped print. Maggie's brown peach lipstick that for some unknown, tricky, and evil providence, after all the part shifting and transforming, ended up in the center of his silver chest, right over his spark casing. The girl froze, now staring at it too, and slowly coming to the realization how intimate her rush gesture had probably been, and what meaning a simple human kiss could acquire, considering the particularities of the Cybertronian anatomy. A horrible thought entered Maggie's head that it must have been the equivalent of kissing someone's crotch. Oh, shit, was all she could think, glaring up. Her vocal cords paralyzed with shock. Moods changed drastically. Maggie decided that there could ever be a perfect moment to die of mortification. This would probably be it. Silence stretched to the point. It was about to become uncomfortable.
Wow.
The Autobot finally rumbled breathlessly, still staring at his chest, his deep voice soft and quiet, somehow deafeningly loud to Maggie's ears. Jazz's lips stretched to a dreamy smile where he looked back at Maggie intently.
I gotta tell you, baby, I ain't washing this off till Sunday, he said, slowly tracing the evidence of her kiss on his metallic chest with the tip of one of his fingers.
On the way back down to Jazz's side, his hand briefly ran over his spark shielding armor and powerful torso in a seemingly innocent, but at the same time, extremely provocative manner. Maggie's eyes widened, her heart kicked in her chest several times hard before the girl gulped mentally, trying to gain control of her thoughts as she had been thrown off balance by this unexpected sensual display. It wouldn't have been this bad if the memory of Jazz's fingers caressing her face in a similar emotion hadn't kept surfacing. She fumbled with words in her brain, feeling the blush rising to her cheeks and searching for something to say, something intelligent that would make her not seem like a flustered fool, even though she totally felt like one. Sure you aren't. Well, good night, Jazz, he said finally, giving the bot a weak and nervous smile that seemed incredibly fake.
Night, Maggie. Jazz smiled in reply, following her every move with an attentive stare, studying her. She couldn't quite interpret his expression, and it was unnerving. God, she'd really wanted to put some distance between them, calm down, and think about it in peaceful solitude.
She nodded once absent-mindedly, as if confirming it was time to go, turned around, and suddenly, as if not to show any signs of deathly embarrassment or confusion, went into the house, not risking looking back. Ignoring Kitty's inquiring stare, Maggie reached her head on autopilot and flopped down to it, fully clothed, still feeling the awkward numbness in her brain and cursing herself. She hated feeling stupid. But she hated feeling out of control even more. Maggie groaned, draping one arm over her flustered face. How was it possible she always managed to get herself into absurd situations? She only found a little comfort in the fact that lipstick was on the calm pastel tone, not some crying red color. That way, she had a small hope that not everyone at Autobot Base would be looking at Jazz tomorrow morning and immediately notice where her lips had been this night. But she decided to follow Scarlett O'Hara's example. Just not think about it today. Yeah, I'll think about it tomorrow. Slipping into the world of dreams, Maggie's mind caught up belatedly on the fact that Jazz had actually been recording her voice, and heaven knows what else. What were the chances of him needing it for scientific purposes? Slim to none. Jeez, what a perv. End of chapter 5. Author's note.
Oh my, cuss me! I was surprised as much as Maggie by Jazz's actions. Thank you for reading. I'm always glad to hear your opinion, criticism, or anything you'd like to say. In fact, your reviews make me probably the happiest fan fiction writer on Earth. No kidding! Be safe, and see you in the next chapter!
And thus, our tale of Forbidden Robot Romance comes to a close for now. For Lola Hard got a hold of me and let me know that her tale will continue. She assured me that this tale will be epic, and that's, of course, why it is on Pretentious Internet Theater. Now I head off to the Orange County Convention Center, Hall E. I look forward to meeting with many of you, as many of you who can show up. And I would like to welcome our new comrades. Try to look out for Sarah Palin's head as it loops in and looks at Vladimir Putin's. That's right. Pretentious Internet Theater is now worldwide. We are listened to on 2 continents, folks. 2 continents. Those in the Russian Federation who are fans of Lola Hard, I did not know she was Russian, although the cosmonaut thing should have given it away. But they are now listening to this program. Good night. Pleasure. All yours.